the Graveyard Menace.
Everybody, happy February, happy Valentine's Day, if you're into that sort of thing. If not, happy day where you stand in the kitchen by yourself and have dinner next to the sink. I've had a few of those, that's for sure. Welcome to the Graveyard Podcast, the program dedicated to our upcoming motion picture entitled The Graveyard Menace. My name is Paul, I'm directing the film, and I'm your host for this very special edition of the podcast. It's a little something we're calling the Love and Sex episode. Yes. Love is in the air. Sex is in the air. And Daphne Klein is in the air. She is my special guest today for our Valentine's edition of the podcast. And to celebrate the occasion, we're coming to you live from the world-famous Pleasure Chest right here in Chicago, Illinois. Well, live for you and me, Daphne, not yes. live for everybody
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
What do you think of the Pleasure Chest?
It's absolutely stunning. I have worked at a couple like sex shops, and this blows them out of the water.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's really put together, has a nice variety, everything's displayed well, and the staff is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, they're really great here. So if you need a little something to amp up your sex life, make sure you stop into the Pleasure Chest, 3436 North Lincoln Avenue. It is a sight to see, and they have some great stuff in here.
You'll have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to get started off, tell us a little bit about your background. I found you on Model Mayhem. You're a model. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
I would consider myself an entertainer. I am a dancer at Polecats in Chicago, and I'm starting to get into some acting with the Graveyard Menace. I'm really excited about that, and I do some modeling, but nothing too big, more for fun
yeah.
and promote myself. So I kind of like to, you know, entertain.
Got your hands in a couple different paints.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well-rounded.
Right. So is the Graveyard Menace actually going to be your first movie, or what's your acting experience been up to this point?
I do some shows at Gorilla Tango Theater, which I know I told you about, but this will be my first like motion picture mm-hmm. real deal. In high school and college, I did some acting, and I did a lot of like musicals. So this is different. I'm excited.
So you got a little bit of theater background.
Yeah, this will be a bit of a change.
Well, I've talked about this on the show before, and one of the things that I really actually have come to like about the cast is that it's very diverse in terms of the amount of experience that people have. Last month on the show, we had some very seasoned actors, and you know, we have some other people in the cast who, like you, don't have a ton of film experience. So it's kind of been an interesting mix to have a lot of different people, you know, who are all across the spectrum in terms of experience. It's interesting.
Perfect.
Yeah.
They can help me a lot.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to have you on the show at this point in time because, like I said, some of the other people that we've had on the show have been on the podcast either when we've been in the middle of shooting their scenes or they have finished shooting your scenes. We actually haven't shot any of your scenes yet.
Correct.
So I wanted to get your kind of take on things going into the process, if you have any expectations of what working on this film is going to be like.
Well, you mentioned how everyone kind of has a different background, and I think that'll really help everyone kind of be able to feed off what their good habits are, mm-hmm. break some bad habits maybe. And I never have worked on film. I'm very excited. Be something a little new. hopefully it comes as naturally as performing for mm-hmm. me to a live audience.
Right.
So I won't have that like initial feedback. I'll have you to direct me and be like, whoa, let's retry that one.
I'm sure it's not going to be any. I'm not going to be like, oh, no. But yeah, obviously, there are some people who have to get used to the idea of doing several takes.
Right.
And to me, it's always been kind of interesting when someone gets upset if they feel that they, didn't nail it. It's like, we can do this 15, 20 times if we need to. It's not a big deal.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very different in the sense that there's not, from my perspective, there's not a lot of pressure to get it right, because eventually you will, and I'm not going to stop until I'm happy with it. So,
which, thank God.
Yeah, so the pressure's kind of off in that sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Because, like with theater, you rehearse, so you're like, stop, go. But then when you get there, you're like, well, this is it.
Yeah.
If you mess up, keep going. Exactly. Put a smile on your face.
Very different. Well, Vanessa, your character... Mm-hmm. Has some very interesting scenes, I'll put it that way.
Intimate, for sure.
Intimate, yeah. Tell us a little bit about your character, who she is to you, and some of the scenes that you're involved with in the movie.
Vanessa is a party girl. Mm-hmm. She likes sexy ladies, and she likes to have fun with multiple substances. And she's basically the wild, crazy party girl that I never was back then. So it's kind of exciting to play that, like, cool girl alter ego. Mm-hmm. So it'll be fun, but she gets pretty wild.
Yeah.
And she has a pretty steamy solo session with herself. So I'm excited to get into that one.
Nice. Do you view her? I'm not sure if it's specifically defined in the script. But do you view her as a full-on lesbian, or maybe someone who's bi, or she kind of plays for both teams a little bit? How do you see her?
I mean, being casted, I was like, Vanessa, hot and horny, redhead lesbian. So right. I was like, oh, right on. So kind of reading the script, I kind of had that like notion set in already. But I think she just likes to have fun, and she hasn't really figured things out yet, so she's like, I'll take what I can get.
Right.
So, I mean, woo!
So she has a little bit of a crush on Ramona.
Yes. She has a little, secret admiration for Ramona. Ramona kind of thinks it's weird, I think, and is kind of stuck in a corner, like,
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of reciprocation.
Yeah, and I think Vanessa kind of runs into that a couple times throughout the script, where she just comes on a little too strong to people, and it's like, whoa.
You're persistent.
Yes. Yeah, not a quitter, that's for sure.
I'm very interested to see how some of those scenes play out when we do get to shooting. It should be interesting.
To say the least.
Yeah, exactly. So even though The Graveyard Menace is a horror movie, like we've been talking about, there's definitely some sexual situations going on, some romance and some love stories. What was your impression when you sat down to read the script? Was it what you were expecting, or was it something completely different, or somewhere in the middle?
It's definitely not your typical, like, spooky, scary, like, horror movie. It's a little wacky, mm-hmm. which I appreciate. I love horror movies, and usually the outlandish ones tend to be a lot better because they're not like, oh my God, the girl ran into the bathroom and is screaming. There's someone in the window. So it definitely, you'll be on the edge of your seat. And there's a lot of other, like, side stories that, mesh together, and at the end you're like, okay, I see what they were doing there. It all makes sense.
I call them plot cul-de-sacs. The movie sometimes just sort of dips in and then comes back out.
That's perfect.
Yeah. You said that you are a big fan of horror movies. Do you have any particular favorites that you can tell us about?
That's so hard. I just love watching them. Mm-hmm. And my roommate and I, we have a pretty extensive collection at home and lots of movie posters and stuff all around our house. Lots of creepy things. And I don't know if I have a favorite. I have, I like the really cheesy ones.
Me too.
Those are really good. And I really like slasher films. But probably my favorite type would be like the thrillers, where it's like you really don't know if what's going on. You can't tell if it's like make-believe or not.
Chase and I have talked about our next film after The Graveyard Menace being
ahead.
Yeah, always. He has an idea that we've been working on called the Sequoia Slasher, and it's obviously a slasher movie, so you might be interested in checking that one out, too.
Awesome, yeah.
But yeah, I'm right there with you. I typically go for more of cheesier stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of fun.
Low-budget Netflix movies.
Exactly. That's me on the couch just about every night.
That's me during the day.
Yeah.
Perfect. We're probably watching the exact same ones.
Probably, yeah. So you mentioned a little bit about you've been doing some burlesque shows. One of the ones that you've been involved with is called Boobs of the Dead. It's a Walking Dead burlesque show. And you recently wrapped that one up, did you not?
Yeah, we opened in October with doing a couple shows every weekend, and then we got an extension in November. We took December off, and then we did our closing month, January. So it was an excellent run with a great director and great cast, and every show sold out, and it was very fun, and I'm a big Walking Dead fan. I like zombies.
I'm at the end of season 2 right now, so don't give away any spoilers.
Oh, good. I'm glad you said that, because I would have been like, can you believe this? But yeah, I love The Walking Dead. I like zombies. So it was nice to kind of get out of that stereotypical, really like retro, pretty glitter burlesque and be like, yeah.
Who did you play in it?
I was, throughout the whole thing, I was a zombie. But I start as kind of like an ex, like CDC worker, and transition into this like boob eating, like lady loving glittery dancing
awesome.
Take on a zombie. So a little different, a little unorthodox, but fantastic.
And so how would you say doing something like that, a burlesque show, differs or doesn't differ to the type of stuff that you do at Polecats? Is it similar?
I would say it's similar. Both involve like a striptease and live performance, interacting with an audience. But crowd control is a lot different. The atmosphere, costuming is different. And the type of dance is generally a little bit different. With burlesque, it's choreographed. And at Polecats, we don't pick our music. I wish that strip clubs were like back in the 90s and you had your like 3 songs and you like put on a crazy show. But most places don't do that anymore, unfortunately. So they play music. Lots of times they'll ask a genre and you kind of just dance and get down.
So it's none of it is really choreographed anymore.
No, it's absolute freestyle, which is fun, and I enjoy it. It's like my favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm. But with burlesque, it was nice to take a break from that and really like work hard and like choreograph it and know your music and be like, no matter what, I'm gonna go out there and like nail it. Right. You know,
how much of a say did you have in terms of the choreography that your character does? Is that something that you helped develop, or was somebody working with you on that?
We had a woman named Erin who did all of our dance choreography, but throughout the show there's a lot of stuff that isn't to music, so that was all like individual take, put your own spin on it. Mm-hmm. So a little mix and match.
Right. That sounds good. I'm a little surprised to hear you say that you don't get to pick your songs at Polecats. I auditioned one time. I worked one night at a strip club.
Whoa.
As a DJ,
nice.
As sort of an audition.
Say, what were you doing?
Stripping. That's why I didn't get hired. no, I tried the DJ thing because I DJed at a radio station for like 6 years, and I said this might be a fun thing to do, you know, as a
change
job.
Of scenery.
Right. And they told me, you know, that the girls were very picky and very specific about what type of music that they wanted played, and if you had a hard rock girl or a metal girl who got on stage and you played a country song, she was going to get pissed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely worked at clubs where, like, girls make their own CD and they give it to the DJ and they're like, you play this and only this. Mm. Or I'm just not going to dance. I'm going to walk off the stage. And then I've worked at clubs where they're like, you have no say. So Polecats is kind of a happy medium. They'll be like, what kind of genre of music do you like? All right, I'll play something. You can special request, but for the most part, they know us pretty well. We have a day DJ and then two different night DJs, and they're all fabulous, and they do a really good job.
Cool.
If people want to come out and see you, is there a typical... Do you have a typical schedule for when you're working? Or
I always work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, and occasionally I'll throw in some extra days, but come see me. You get free entry if you ask for Daphne at the door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice little perk right there. So I follow you pretty closely on Facebook. We're friends.
Oh, dear.
Right? We're friends?
Absolutely.
Okay. And, oh, dear.
Stalker on the loose.
Well, you have some very interesting stuff that you post. A lot of it is you have a very sex-positive attitude.
Oh, yeah.
So what does it mean to you to be sex-positive?
I think that... I kind of think that sex-positive and, like, body-positive kind of go hand-in-hand, or women-positive. All those... It's just not being, like... If some girl... and guy have sex every day with someone new, and they're being safe right on for them.
Right.
If some guy and girl decide that they never want to have sex for the rest of their lives, good for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone has their own personal choice in why they do it. As long as they're being safe and smart about it, then there's nothing wrong. So I think it's just not really judging others based on just how you feel, being really objective rather than subjective.
Do you consider yourself to be a feminist?
Yes. Big time.
Do you think that those two kind of go hand in hand?
I do, in a way. Saying feminist, kind of, you know, it's kind of got a bad rep sometimes. I think the new wave feminists are really, you know, open-minded. They want everyone just to be, you know, treated as they are. And a lot of people hear feminists are like, oh my God, you hate men. You hate sex. Like, you want to shave your head. Like, all these crazy things. That's what my brother thinks. And I'm just like, whoa, let's chill out. Let's think about what it means. Equality for everyone, not that anyone is better, because then it'd be just the opposite. So,
I think that I am, whether I realize it or not, I'm a feminist.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah, because I just don't, I don't understand the concept of things not being equal.
To me, it just seems so backwards. Like, I would never be like, you don't get to do that. You're not entitled to do that because you're... fill in the blank.
Right.
Like, I would never be like, do that. Like, just like you said, it just, it's like,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Second nature to be like, hey, cool.
Right, exactly. Well, it is, you know, the season for love, and it's Valentine's Day and everything. So I was curious what sort of plans you got going on for Valentine's Day.
Well, for Valentine's Day, I am not sure what I'm going to be doing. Hopefully... something sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be working that night, and then I know the weekend after Valentine's Day, so once the crazy week is over, I'm going on a dinner date. I'm very excited.
Cool.
And yeah.
Now, what about those are your Valentine's Day plans? What are Vanessa's Valentine's Day plan? Because I'm sure she's got something exciting planned.
Ooh la la. I bet Vanessa would have a couple things lined up for that night.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she would, I mean, if she had it her way, she would definitely be out with Ramona.
Right.
But that might be easier said than done, so she probably will maybe have a couple dates, get a little raunchy.
Mm-hmm. Have a couple drinks?
Oh, yes. To start with.
Maybe a little something else?
Yeah, some party favors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows at that point? She's pretty unpredictable.
And then probably end the evening outside of Ramona's window trying to get a nice little peep of something.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that that's beyond her. She pushes the limits and the boundaries, sometimes a little too far, but mostly just far enough to get a rejection.
Well, Daphne, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to do it.
And I'm very much looking forward to pushing some of the boundaries when we start shooting your scenes in the movie.
Likewise.
Awesome. Thank you, Daphne.
Thank you. Bye.
See ya. Well, guys, once again, thanks for listening to this special episode of the podcast. Real quick, I just want to thank the Pleasure Chest for letting us record this episode at their place. Real nice of them to do that. They got some interesting events coming up. There's a comedy night Monday, February 18th from 8 to 10 p.m. and it's free. And then they have some interesting seminars coming up. So you can check all of that out if you go to their website, pleasurechest.com/blog. They're also on Twitter, at PleasureChestCH, and they're on Facebook, facebook.com/TPCCHI. That's the Pleasure Chest Chicago. As for us, we're on Facebook too, facebook.com/TheGraveyardMenace. And you can also check us out on Twitter, at Graveyard Menace, or on Tumblr, thegraveyardmenace.tumblr.com. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time on the Graveyard Podcast.